Our scripture this morning is from John 19, verses 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath to you all. I don't know if you saw the latest on that accident. Last that I had seen was that one student athlete and one coach had been killed in that accident. The rest of the students are in three different hospitals, one in Coos Bay, one at Riverbend, and one in OHSU. So it was definitely a serious accident, so definitely want to keep them in our prayers. Also, don't know if everybody is aware, but Mark and Cheryl Hersher are in Cuba on a Maranatha trip, so we want to keep them in our prayers also to keep them safe. First, I want to take you on a little journey here. A woman is standing next to a grave. You can tell that she is not having a good day. She's been crying quite a bit, actually. She hasn't been able to eat or sleep for a couple days because of the events of the last couple days. You see, a dear friend has been betrayed, arrested, taken to trial, and executed, all in one day. She really can't understand what or why these things have happened. This dear friend of hers was taken away after being executed and was buried. She is confused because now the tomb is empty. I'll finish this story at the close of my sermon. Let's have a little word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for so many blessings that you've given to us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for what he did for us when he died on the cross. This great plan of salvation that was put into effect long time ago and finally came to a head, you might say, at Christ's death on the cross. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be here with us to give us open minds and open hearts that we may receive these words that you have given to me to speak this day. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. It is finished. These are the last words that Jesus spoke before dying on the cross. Words that hold so much meaning to humanity. The plan of salvation was put into place and was finished on the cross. I would like to read that passage again. I like the version that Dave had. I'm reading from New King James Version. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, and said, I thirst. And now a vessel full of sour wine, which we call vinegar nowadays, was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus left heaven, Jesus left his Father, and he left all the holy angels, came to this earth to live among us. His mission was clear. He would try to communicate with the people about God, the Father. He would heal the sick, the lame, the deaf, and the blind, but he was not received among men. He would have to endure many unpleasant things in his ministry on earth. In his last days of his ministry, the leaders of the day became very jealous of him because of his popularity among the people that they wished to rule over. They rejected Jesus as the Son of God. They started looking for ways to dispose of Jesus. Many times they tried to trap him, But he knew what they were up to and was able to avoid their entrapments. What they were looking for was a deliverer that would deliver them from the Romans. So when that didn't happen, plans were laid in place to dispose of Jesus. So they had him crucified. What Jesus had started out to do was now complete. Jesus had finished what he and God the Father had planned for a long time ago. Jesus went to the Father and said that he would give himself up to save the people that had been created in their image. No other being could be that sacrifice. Ellen White writes in Patriarchs and Prophets, chapter 4, titled The Plan of Redemption, and I read, "None but Christ could redeem fallen man from the curse of the law and bring him again into harmony with heaven. Christ would take upon himself the guilt and shame of sin, sin so offensive to the holy God that it must separate the Father and his Son. Christ would reach to the depths of the misery to rescue the ruined race." Amen. Jesus lay in the tomb all Friday night, all day Saturday, Sabbath, and early Sunday morning was resurrected. Amen indeed. What a sight that must have been. Holy angel was dispatched from God. Ellen White writes in the Desire of Ages, page 785, second paragraph, "When the voice of the mighty angel was heard at Christ's tomb, saying, 'Thy Father calls thee,' the Savior came forth from the grave by the life that was in himself. Now was proved the truth of his words, 'I lay down my life that I might take it again. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again.' This shows pure divinity, that he was and is the Son of God. Now was fulfilled the prophecy he had spoken to the priests and rulers, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.'" And that comes from John 10, 17, 18, and John 2, 19. Continuing in the next paragraph, she writes, "Over the rent sepulcher of Joseph, Christ had proclaimed in triumph, 'I am the resurrection and the life.' These words could be spoken only by deity." Again, I read from the Desire of Ages, "As Christ arose, he brought from the grave a multitude of captives. The earthquake at his death had rent open their graves. And when he arose, they came forth with him. They were those who had been co-laborers with God and who, at the cost of their lives, had borne testimony to the truth. Now they were to be witnesses to him who raised them from the dead." During his ministry, Jesus raised the dead to life several times. He raised the son of the widow of Nain and the ruler's daughter and Lazarus. But these were not clothed with immortality. After they were raised, they were still subject to death. But those who came forth from the grave at Christ's resurrection were raised to everlasting life. They ascended with him as trophies of his victory over death and victory over the grave. "These," said Christ, "are no longer the captives of Satan. I have redeemed them. I have brought them from the grave as the first fruits of my power, to be with me where I am, never more to see death or experience sorrow." To the believer, Christ is the resurrection and
whom he will.
The voice that cried from the cross, "It is finished," was heard among the dead. It pierced the walls of the sepulchers and summoned the sleepers to rise. Thus will it be when the voice of Christ shall be heard from heaven. That voice will penetrate the graves and unbar the tombs, and the dead in Christ shall rise. At the Savior's resurrection, a few graves were opened, but at his second coming, all precious dead shall hear his voice and come forth with glorious, immortal life. The same power that raised Christ from the dead will raise his church and glorify it with him. Above all principalities, above all powers, above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Amen. Now let's go back to the story that I started off with. When we last saw Mary Magdalene, I'm sure you all figured out who it was, who was standing at the grave. She was at the tomb of Jesus. In John 20, verse 12, John writes, "When she looked in the grave, she saw two angels while sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They asked her why she was crying, and Mary said that, quote, 'My Lord,' unquote, 'has been taken away, and I don't know where they have taken him.' After Mary had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. John tells us in John 20, 16 and 17, Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'teacher.' At that moment, she finally recognized Jesus. Oh, what glory that she had. Anyway, she was so glad to see him that she wanted to, of course, to touch him and to hug him. But of course, Jesus says, 'Not yet, for I have not ascended to the Father.' But when she did turn and looked at Jesus, that sort of reminds me of one of our hymns, hymn number 220, matter of fact, 'Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.' And the chorus goes, 'Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.'" In closing, I would like to read one more passage from the Desire of Ages, and it's page 790. Sister White writes, "Jesus refused to receive the homage of his people until he had the assurance that his sacrifice was accepted by the Father. He ascended to the heavenly courts and from God himself heard the assurance that his atonement for the sins of men had been ample, that through his blood all might gain eternal life. The Father ratified the covenant made with Christ, that he would receive penitent and an obedient men and would love them even as he loves his Son. Christ was to complete his work and fulfill his pledge to make a man more precious than fine gold, or and even a man like the golden wedge of Ophir." That comes from Isaiah 13, verse 12. "All power in heaven and on earth is given to the Prince of Life. He returned to his followers in the world of sin that he might impart to them his power and glory." Amen. It is finished. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Jesus. We thank you for the plan of salvation, and we thank you that it was successful. We know that there was never a doubt, but you never know. But we're glad that it is finished, that Christ accomplished what he came here to do, that no longer should man suffer from the sins of this world, that there is a way out if we would only turn our eyes to Jesus and look in his face. And when we do look in his face, of course, we see your face. And also, we're thankful that the lies of Satan no longer is true. You have proved to us, to your angels in heaven, and to the whole world that you have created, that Satan's accusations were nothing but lies. So we thank you, and that plan is finished. As we go forth this day, we pray that you'll be with us, with those who are not able to be with us today, whatever the circumstances may be. So in Christ's name we ask and praise you. Amen.